There's wide agreement among education experts that teacher quality is the most important school-based factor in how kids do in school. So how are Michigan schools of education doing when it comes to turning out effective teachers? And how do we measure that effectiveness? This week, we're beginning an in-depth series here on Michigan Radio, Learning to Teach. And here with us now is Michelle Richard. She specializes in education issues at Public Sector Consultants. Welcome back to Stateside, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us first off, let's get right ground level, how are teachers evaluated in our state?
Absolutely. So we have state law now that requires that every single educator is evaluated every single year. And that evaluation consists of two big components. First of all, we have administrators go into classrooms and have observations. So they'll take a look and see what's actually happening in the classroom. We also are looking at student growth, which is a relatively new addition to the teacher evaluation conversation. And we're looking at statewide assessment data, local data, to understand if children are really learning while they're sitting in the classroom.
Is this process fair? And by that, I mean, what does it mean if you're only evaluating on these student test scores and if you're basing it on student achievement? Is that okay? Because what if the child suffers from a learning disability or is homeless or has a hard home life? Should the teacher be held accountable for all of that as well?
So you're jumping right into the tough questions because I think you've really hit the heart of one of the biggest challenges of educator evaluation. So I'm a big believer that we want teachers to open their classroom doors and to have high-quality feedback from their peers and from administrators about what's happening in their classroom. Too often, teachers can close their door and they work independently and they never get quality feedback on their instructional practices. I think that we've come a long way in making sure that the classroom observation side of the equation is fair to teachers. Most districts in the state are using a vendor provided, so someone who does teacher evaluation for a living and has made sure that their evaluation tool is fair to educators. They use one of those observation models. They generally get trained by that vendor, and I think that we've come a long way to making sure that the observation side is fair for teachers. The student growth side is a lot more challenging. I tend to think that that's an important addition to the conversation. I think it's really critical to say it's not enough for teachers to teach the content. We must prioritize whether or not students are learning that content. Do we have a perfect measure for that? No. So generally, we've been talking about using statewide assessment data, so MEEP, or the new version would be the M-STEP. But that doesn't cover every child. That doesn't cover every teacher because not all subjects are tested. And there's questions about whether or not a class size of 30 can give you enough data about an educator. So generally, when you see information about student growth, they'll be looking for multiple years of data. So a teacher who's been teaching fourth grade for 3 years, for example, would have data on potentially 120 students, which gives them a lot more, which gives all the data people who help us understand these numbers better data to build their determination of student growth on. But it is far from perfect. And I think we've seen our legislators tip a hat to that by delaying some of the implementation of requiring a bigger growth measure in teacher evaluations.
How does what we're doing in Michigan compare to other states?
So Michigan really took a big jump into teacher evaluation in 2009, which was about the same time that a lot of other states took this leap too. So there's an organization that's a national nonprofit called the New Teacher Project, and they had put out a report called The Widget Effect. And they came to the conclusion that 99% of educators were rated satisfactory. So in an evaluation system where you are rated satisfactory or unsatisfactory, we were only identifying 1% of educators as ineffective. And I think that just didn't jive with most people's common experience. If you ask teachers, if you ask parents, if you ask students, they would tell you that there are some teachers that are not as good as others, and our evaluation systems just weren't picking those things up. So President Obama and his administration, in the very, very first race to the top, encouraged states to really focus on teacher evaluation. And we saw a big jump in 2009 in the number of states who increased their requirements. That's not to say that Michigan wasn't conducting teacher evaluations prior, just the state requirements were much more lenient.
So it's toughened up and it's become very charged. And I think you kind of, your reaction to the first question about how fair this process is leads me to the next question, which is, has this process become political in Michigan?
Absolutely. So we've had the legislature take a number of, or they've introduced and passed a number of bills around evaluation over the past 5 or 6 years. So they increased the expectations in 2009. In 2011, they came back and said we had some more work to do on these requirements, and they made some adjustments. And they also created the Michigan Council for Educator Effectiveness, which was an external group led by the University of Michigan's Deborah Ball. And they took a look at what can we really do around educator evaluation policy that is aligned with research, that's fair and equitable to teachers. And they came out with a report. And last year, 2014, we saw lawmakers try again to get some updates into the legislation so that we'd have some more consistent expectations for districts. But unfortunately, that bill wasn't able to pass the finish line.
You know, with all the research you have done, Michelle Richard, with everything you know, do evaluations tell the whole story about whether a teacher truly is or is not effective?
I don't think that any single measure ever tells the whole story, but I think that it gets us a lot further down the road. I said just a couple minutes ago how important I think this is. If your listeners kind of think about their common experience, I think that most people have an opportunity to have feedback in their professional life on a relatively regular basis. My boss sits next door, and he'll absolutely tell me if I can do better or if I should be doing something differently. And too often, our teachers don't have that quality feedback. And an imperfect measure, in my opinion, is better than no measure. And I think that we've put some safeguards in place so that we are not making high-stakes decisions like whether or not a teacher is laid off, whether or not a teacher is fired, based on a single observation in a classroom. I think the system we've set up has really worked hard to make sure that those evaluations, where teachers are rated highly effective, effective, minimally effective, or ineffective, that they're based on more than one measurement. So more than one classroom observation and more than a single moment in time for student growth. So often that student growth component is a combination of statewide test data and local test data so that it's not, you know, what if Johnny had a bad day? Mm-hmm. Your test score, your student growth measure might be completely off. I think that most districts have tried to set up a system that makes a lot of sense to teachers and that is fair, but I do think we still have a long way to go.
And with that in mind, if you could be the ruler of the universe and set up the most perfect way possible to evaluate a teacher, what would that look like, Michelle?
So I do think that getting people in the classroom so that people can really be seeing what happens. And in my ideal world, I would have that feedback loop happen a lot more frequently for teachers. Right now, most of our evaluators are principals. And as many of us know, principals have a very big job description, and all of us only have so many hours in a day. So I would love to have evaluators and principals in the classroom all the time so that teachers are constantly getting feedback. We tell students that we don't want them to be surprised by a low grade on a test, right? We want to give them a lot of feedback that they haven't mastered a skill yet and they have work to do. And I would love for that same expectation to be set for our teachers so that if there's a problem or they're not performing or mastering a skill that we want them to, that they've had really regular conversations with their peers, with their principal to say, this isn't going as well as it should. What can we do differently to make sure that you as a professional are growing and that you're serving kids to the best of your ability?
Michelle Richard is a specialist in education at Public Sector Consultants. As always, thank you so much, Michelle.
My pleasure. Thank you.